Well, good morning. It's lovely to be here. Thanks for having me. And let's pray before we start. That's a good idea. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight? Amen. Amen. Well, here we are. It's the fourth Sunday of Advent. We're kind of nearly here. When Christmas is just round the corner, we can feel us barreling into that final stretch. And if you haven't noticed, we're quite busy around here. You know, it's endemic of society. But here, as we journey just before we get to Christmas, we start to look at Mary and Mary's story. And sometimes as Anglicans, you know, as Protestants, we can be a bit, you know, nervous about stuff to do with Mary. But there's a lot of wisdom that we can learn from her. So let's, as we come before Christmas, let's spend some time with Mary. And there's this wonderful picture up here. This is, so our story today came from this time when Mary visits Elizabeth, and this is just a wonderful picture of that joy that seems to happen. But it got me wondering, why is there, so what happened in today's reading is Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and something happens, and then Mary bursts into song. And you just wonder, well, why is that? So we go back to the beginning of the chapter, and there's a couple of things that run up into this, and the first is this, is that the angel Gabriel comes to visit a chap called Zechariah, and Zechariah is married to Elizabeth. And in one of the great one-liners in the Bible, Gabriel says to Zechariah, who promises to him that him and his wife will have a child in their old age. And Zechariah's reaction to this is, what? That can't possibly happen. And Gabriel says, and this is great, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And if that isn't a good reason, then my goodness, I don't know what is. And then Gabriel moves on, and he goes to visit Mary and says, Mary, you are going to be blessed. You are going to carry the Lord's Messiah and a baby, and you will have a baby, and that baby will be called Jesus. I often think that Gabriel treats Mary rather differently to Zechariah, because Zechariah gets struck dumb after that encounter. Can we just imagine that reaction of Mary for a minute? All of a sudden, so this is a teenage girl, and she's not married, and all of a sudden she's been told that she, this long-expected hope of Israel, she's going to become pregnant, and instantly she becomes an outcast in her society. She's a pregnant teenager. It's rather uncomfortable, really. This is not how we expect God to be, surely. And into her confusion and worry, she receives this promise from God, this promise of that she will carry the Lord's Messiah. And so Mary then, sometime later, goes to visit Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is also pregnant. The Lord's promise to Elizabeth has come true as well. She's bearing a child in her old age, and that becomes John the Baptist. That's baby John the Baptist. So baby John the Baptist and baby Jesus get together, and there's this explosion of joy, because Elizabeth recognizes something about the promises of God being fulfilled in Mary, and Elizabeth sees that those promises are confirmed, and the reaction is that this baby leaps in her womb, and they realize, oh gosh, God is really with us, God is really here, and He's in this situation. And into Mary's confusion and worry and sort of not knowing where she now sits in the world, she suddenly realized that this promise of God is confirmed. And she realizes, gosh, God really meant what He said. God really is in charge. And God really is with me and with us in this. And so there's... just want to hold that. So that's the story. So I just want to hold that in mind as we consider one or two points from that. So this is the great theologian Peanuts. So this is Charlie Barham, who helps me with a lot of my talks. And the first point I want to consider is this: that we can trust in God's promises, and that those promises will be confirmed, because that was Mary's experience. And it kind of got me thinking about, well, what are the promises of God that we hold on to? What are the things that we can hold on to as followers of Jesus Christ Those who know him, who have turned to him, realize that we need his help. Well, here's some things that God says to us, his promises to us. He says to us, you are loved. You are loved unconditionally. You are being transformed. Your salvation is assured. You have been redeemed. God promises that he will equip us for the work he wants us to do. He promises that he is coming back, and Advent is really, the big part of Advent is about that. He's coming back and he's going to invite us into an eternity with him. He calls us friends. He promises us that we are forgiven. He promises that we are his children. He promises that he will provide for us. And the wonderful thing is, I could go on, but this was my sort of, you know, top six or seven things. These are the truths about God, these promises that God makes to us. But here's the thing. Those things are true, but it doesn't always feel like it. And I think all of us from time to time in life think, well, yes, I don't know. Do we sometimes question whether we are loved, whether we are forgiven? Yeah, probably we do. But and feelings, how we feel about things, feelings are important. I'm very much a feeling sort of person. They are important, but they're not the same as God's truthful promises. Because they are constant, they are assured. And regardless of how I or we feel, they are still true. And this, I think, is the experience of Mary. It's all of a sudden she realized that these promises have become true. And it's not just Mary. If we look back in the Bible, God makes good on his promises throughout. If we go back right to the beginning of the Old Testament, let's think about Abraham, that he would be given a people and that his descendants would be numbered amongst the stars in the sky. He promises that Isaac will have a son and he will find Jacob a wife and he will bring Joseph out of prison. And he promises the Israelites a promised land overflowing with milk and honey. And then through the prophets, he promises this king, this Messiah. And we heard it today in Micah, that this king would come who would rule with righteousness and justice. I wonder about the promises that we receive as people here. I mean, I know that for myself, the promises I've had over my life of sometimes of very much of help and of support, when they have come home to roost, when they have been known that they are true and I've felt that, then that's when I know that I'm loved and I'm cared for. And sometimes those promises that we receive from each other of help and support, they're really valuable because it reflects something of God. So where does this lead? Joy! I love this story because Mary realized that these promises of God have become true and become confirmed, and her reaction is to burst into song. It's an explosion of joy. And I think, do you know what? I think that's a very human reaction. I think that when we realize that, gosh, yes, we are loved, we are forgiven, we are saved, we are invited into eternity with God, our reaction to that, somewhere deep down, is joy. Thank you, Peanuts. You know, and I was reflecting on my few weeks here. I've been here only for a few weeks, but I just wondered about, was there a celebration of joy at the end of the reordering process? So we got to, you know, you guys got to the end of that, and you kind of made promises that somehow we'd do something with this building that would be a blessing, and that would bless the community around us. And at the end of that, I hope that there was some joy. There might also have been some relief. That's okay. But I think it's a very natural reaction. And the wonderful thing is that reaction of joy and to praise God, to come to get God again in praise, is that feeds back, because some of those hymns and songs of worship teach us again about the promises of God. And the whole thing sort of comes around. I'm not saying that in every situation it's easy to naturally turn to God in praise. But even in the darkness and the difficulty and the pain of life, if we hear again those whispers of God, of his promises to us, then perhaps we can still find that ability to praise him. And sometimes it's in our Anglican liturgy, we talk about this sometimes as being it's a duty and a joy. And mostly it's a joy, but sometimes it's a duty, it's a discipline, sometimes. And it's important to recognize that. And finally, you get me. Here's the thing. God chooses us, even us, as we are. God chooses Mary, a teenager of no special family, who had nothing. She wasn't even married. In her society, she was basically not yet a thing, and that's rather uncomfortable to our ears, and it should be. But God chooses us, even the unexpected people. And God chooses us to do the work that's on his heart. And he chooses us to do the work that's on his heart in Calvary, in this place. I've had the huge privilege over the last couple of weeks of seeing lots of what this church does. And it's amazing. I wonder that, you know, gosh, God chooses people to run a coffee morning. It's like a hub for the whole community, to provide barn babies three times a week. And there's a whole team of people walking dogs for someone. And there are people praying for people and with people. And my reflection on this is that mostly in our walk with Jesus, he asks us to do stuff that's within our capability. Like most of the time, we're doing stuff that we can do. But occasionally, God will ask us to go somewhere and do something and surprise us with something that we'll feel way out of our comfort zone. We'll feel totally out of our depth. And yet in that, sometimes that's where we find God closest. It's part of the adventure, I think, of walking with Jesus Christ. But like Mary, in that time when she suddenly realized she was way, way out of her depth, she was out of her comfort zone, those promises of God came back to her and she realized, yes, God is with me. God is with us. He is in this situation. And that is, I hope, an encouragement to us all. And so as we, as we lead finally into this final rush into Christmas, I hope that we can spend some time listening again to those promises of God, those whispers of God saying, you are loved, you are forgiven, you are provided for, you are my children. Because that's the stuff that bubbles up inside us and leads us to praise. And I think it sort of helps settle some of the rush and the busyness around us of Christmas. And so let's look to him, yes, when we're doing the stuff that we can do, but let's look to him when we're totally out of our depth. And here again, the whispers of God's promises, and return to him in praise. And why? For God is with us. Amen.